Now we're number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so the big story today, congratulations, obviously, to the Denver Nuggets off to the NBA Finals. You've been listening to this show for a while. You know how much I've been a supporter of the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic is the best player right now in the NBA. Jamal Murray is a fantastic closer. And I'll even take you back to last year when everyone's freaking out when they went down early in the playoffs. Oh, Jokic can't win a championship. Oh, he just wins MVPs, blah, 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 blah. I said, just wait till Jamal Murray gets back. And now Murray is back, and along with Nikola Jokic, that team to me is the best team in the sport right now, especially when you have guys like Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. also in that starting lineup. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has done a nice job bouncing around, and you've got some production coming off the bench as well. And we'll see if Boston could have any heart tonight and have a pulse. I don't think they will, and I think that series will end in a sweep. Hickey, I'll give you credit, even though you mushed me going out to Denver because you guaranteed that there was going to be a Game 5. You were on the Miami Heat, except I do have a few people that have brought something to my attention. So I'll just ask you, I'm about to give you credit saying nice job because you went with the Miami Heat before this series started. But I got a few tweets that you shouldn't be taking this victory lap and be careful of the Hickey victory lap that you're going to be taking about the Miami Heat winning this series when Mendoza finally gets a hit like you with the prediction, because I got a few tweets, and I think this was on Sunday, I want to say, where before this series started, like when we were still in the second round, that you were saying it doesn't matter who wins the Heat-Knicks series because neither of those teams were going to go out there and defeat the Sixers or the Boston Celtics. So is that true, or are people just giving me false information? I'm going to go to you on this one and trust you.
I mean, I definitely said the Knicks were not going to go to the NBA Finals. Probably.
Wait, did you? You were picking them as a dark horse to go to the NBA Finals.
Well, no, we were talking about the Knicks Heat series. Did I say? I don't remember. Honestly, I do not recall.
That's not real convincing right there. So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, even though I probably shouldn't. I'll give you credit for the Heat prediction. Now, you said Heat in six, and that's not going to be right, but you agree the series is over.
Series.
I'm talking about doesn't even get back to game three. Sure, but I'm talking about not even getting back to game five in Boston. Like, I fully expect the Heat to roll tonight.
No chance Celtics show up. No chance. They didn't get on the plane to go to game three, and the way they are talking after that game yesterday as well, there's no reason to believe they're going to show any sort of heart, fight, grit in game four with it 3-0.
Oh, they probably did get on the plane. They were there, but maybe they did a little extra partying in Miami. Or I'll pull a Mike Greenberg. I'll channel my inner Mike Greenberg. Maybe their muscles are just too relaxed. Being out in that warm weather of Miami, that it really got to those Boston Celtics players.
I mean, at this point, when you are down 30 points in the third quarter of a game you need to have, any excuses has to be used and thrown out there. Anything. Plane was delayed. Not the right sleep patterns. Hotel rooms are too hot. Bed bugs, maybe, like whatever you want to say. Honestly, at this point, you got to throw it out there, because when you have that effort in the second half with your season on the line, you got to pull out all the stops.
This is such a gutless Boston team. And you know their fans won't let them off the hook. Like, that's the one thing I really do admire with the Boston sports fan. They've had so many championships in the last 20 years across all four of their sports, and they still expect a certain standard of greatness. And this is a embarrassing Boston team. Like, I talked to my uncle, who watches almost every Celtics game, and he's been telling me all year long this team doesn't have a killer instinct. I mean, you like just look at the standings, you're like, oh, okay, come on. It's just your crazy uncle talking, but he is 100% right. Because there were signs of this. We talked about the signs that they were eventually going to get burned, and it looked like they were going to get burned in the Sixers series, and then Tatum pulled out this all-time great Game 7 performance. But in this series, to not even have a pulse against a team that on paper you're better than, it just piles on in just an absolute embarrassment that the Boston Celtics are this year.
And the frustrating part, of your Celtics fans, this is not just a one-off. This is not just, oh, new coach, they're not really into it. This was a year that never came together. This is like the third or fourth year in a row this team has done this. We're like, sure, they made it to the finals last year. Was it easy? Absolutely not. Like, every single postseason, within the last two or three years, it's been up and down, a roller coaster ride. Nothing comes easy. Even in series that they win, it's way more difficult than it should be. I don't know what it is in terms of its lack of focus, lack of want to. There's reports about now teammates not liking each other. Whatever it is, there's something there that goes beyond just the coaching staff and beyond just this season.
Well, I don't think Jaylen Brown wants to be there. Now, he may end up being back there next year because the way the contract goes, especially making the all-second NBA team, the question just is, why doesn't Jaylen Brown want to be there? Does he not like the city? Does Jaylen Brown want to go be a number one somewhere else? Does he have a tough time gelling with Jason Tatum? I just want to know, because here's what, one thing I'll say. I don't think there was a lot of pressure on Boston until heading into really probably the 2020-2021 season. And then once Brad elected, whether you want to say he's forced or not, to go upstairs, and they brought in a new coach. Like, last year was really one of the first years I looked at championship or bust for the Boston Celtics, because this young team came onto the scene. Remember, LeBron was still in the Eastern Conference before going out there and joining the Golden State War, going out there and joining the Los Angeles Lakers. I really thought the last 2 years, and they got to the finals last year, and they blew a 2-1 lead, but really the last 2 years were the championship or bust type of years for Boston, and that's why I think as of late you look at them differently. The years prior to that, when they were getting to a bunch of conference finals, it was impressive how young this team was and how far they were going.
And now to the point where, I mean, if you're right and Jaylen Brown doesn't want to be there, you got to move on from him.
Well, like, that's the thing. I would not want to trade Jaylen Brown if I'm the Celtics. But if he doesn't want to be there, you got to get rid of him.
Because, yeah, that's the underlying threat of just like there's always constant tension between the two stars on the team. They don't coexist well, and maybe their games are a little too similar, and Brown is like sharing the spotlight with Tatum or vice versa, whatever it is. Again, there's an undercurrent that goes beyond just this season where you just can't explain it away as, oh, this was just a weird year. Missoula was not ready, you know, to be the coach, and next year will be better. It's been a theme recently, and it's, again, it's something that maybe it's more player than coach driven.
And maybe Brown is a little extra sensitive with going back to all the KD rumors as well. And I'm not saying you should love to hear your name thrown out in trade rumors, but when it's for Kevin Durant, can you really get that mad about it? The Celtics wouldn't be doing their job if they didn't find a way to maybe go get Kevin Durant to see if that was actually possible. And they're not going to get rid of Tatum. You're picking Tatum over Brown. So I could understand some of the hurt feelings, but to a point where it's going to derail a season. And then you get into the whole Ime Udoka situation. You knew the moment when the Celtics would go down, and I said this even in the Sixers series, if they were going to lose to the Sixers, there'd be two stories. Something will come out about the Ime Udoka situation, and then there will be speculation about Jaylen Brown's future. I said that with Sean Grandy when he was on with us during that second round after Boston did go down 3-2 to the Philadelphia 76ers. So I'm not surprised about either, and we'll see, and we'll hopefully get some clarity sooner rather than later on Jaylen Brown. But the Udoka part, at this point, when you've been through the entire season, and I get it, right? The players, I guess, were never given a satisfactory answer. It's kind of been hush-hush. That makes me think how personal this was, where he was sleeping with someone's wife or girlfriend that he shouldn't in a superior in the organization, something like that. But, and that's just speculation to be clear, but the Udoka thing to be used as an excuse, that kind of shows you how weak these players are. I get it, you like Ime Udoka, but just losing your coach, and this is not college, this is the NBA. And you had Milwaukee out in the first round. You're going up against an inferior Sixers team, you're better on paper than this Heat team, and the Heat are kicking your ass. So I don't want to hear Woj talk about, oh, they never got past the Ime Udoka situation. If that's the case, these players are so weak in Boston. If you're going to let a coach just derail your season like that. I get it. You liked him. He did a great job last year. But you have more talent than this Heat team. And they just want it more. And that's unacceptable.
Absolutely. And again, that's why I think a lot more blame goes on the players for right now this Celtics team being down 0-3 than the coaching staff. Because this is just a... You don't need a coach to fire you up or bring the intensity. And right now, that's exactly what the Celtics are lacking, especially late in these games. They look like they just don't want to be there.
Well, it also doesn't make sense to me, especially the first two games, how Tatum doesn't get the ball in his hand in the fourth quarter. Like, sometimes some people, you'll talk to 10 people. 5 will put that on the coach. 5 will put that on the player. Jason Tatum, that's your team. The way that you went off in Game 7, if Mazzulla, for some reason, I don't know why, isn't trying to get you the ball, go demand the ball and go take over the game. Alrighty, real quickly, so this LeBron topic, I don't think he's actually retiring, but forever he's been throwing out this idea, teaming up with his son Bronny, who's going to USC, and he'll probably be one and done and then be in the NBA. LeBron last night to David McMenamin said, just because that's my aspiration or my goal doesn't mean it's his, and I'm absolutely okay with that. If I'm Bronny, and I give LeBron and his wife a lot of credit for the way in the public spotlight they have raised their children, and Bronny, you keep on hearing, has improved as a basketball player. And I always felt awkward talking about Bronny because he's a high school kid, and I just don't like that when people in the media like obsess over a high school kid. Let them be kids, but when you're LeBron James' son, you're not just any ordinary kid. Now with Tim Hardaway declaring that he's going to USC, it changes the conversation a little bit. But if I'm Bronny, and I can't speak for him, I'm just thinking to myself, if I was in that position, as cool as it sounds getting to play with your dad, I would kind of want to start to pave my own legacy. And I think going right into the NBA, it would kind of give off the vibe like, oh, dad is there to chaperone his kid and lead his kid into this new life of being a professional basketball player. I would kind of want to find my own way. And that's a difficult conversation because LeBron has made it clear that he wants to play with his son. And now hearing LeBron say, just because that's my aspiration or my goal doesn't mean it's his, and I'm absolutely okay with that, that means to me two things. One, Bronny said, dad, like, let's stop with that. Or two, maybe LeBron got some sense, I don't want to put that pressure on my son, and let me have my son find his own way in defining his future or his eventual future in the NBA, Hickey.
Yeah, I think this is LeBron letting Bronny get his own path. Like I said, it's tough. Like, you're never going to obviously grow LeBron's shadow. We're never going to forget who Bronny's dad is, but it's one of those things where when you're LeBron's age, you kind of now allow your son to go out into the world. He's going to college, going to USC. Let him find his own way. Let him find his own path. You don't need to kind of be there. Even if you're not playing a lot, it's going to just appear like you're almost babysitting in a way with if they're on the same team in 2 or 3 years from now. It's just, it's not fair to even Bronny to kind of have his career start that way.
Yeah, and people know I'm as close as I could be with my dad. And my dad was the first producer for Mike and the Mad Dog. And like everyone thinks he's like the biggest deal in the world, like inside this radio business. When I was starting out on the radio, like, I just did everything. I tried to do everything by myself. And even though my dad always wanted to lend a helping hand, I tried to kind of keep him out of the picture because I wanted to kind of pave my own way instead of like there just be idiots that would go, oh, the only reason Gelb has a job is because of his dad, which is just so stupid. And I kind of fought my way on my own. And I think that is something that, yeah, sure, you want to use your family as a resource. Your family's always there. But I think finding your own way, it's actually more beneficial for the individual. And at least I found it more beneficial for myself as well. So, you know, not comparing exactly Bob Gelb to LeBron James and myself to Bronny, but that's just something that did pop into my mind, not being in a similar situation, but just having it out there when everyone just assumes like your success is tied to your father, when my dad's been like a salesman, not even a producer in radio for like the last 20 years. And it's been so far removed from really what he's known for. All right, real quickly, did you see Carmelo Anthony's retirement video, Hickey? Because I thought that was a well-put-together retirement video. I've always had a soft spot for Carmelo Anthony. When one of my best friends growing up as a kid had cancer, his wish was to go meet Carmelo Anthony. They flew him out to Denver when Carmelo was on the Nuggets, like him, Earl Boykins, a few other players. They spent an entire day with one of my childhood friends, and my buddy Danny was going through a tough time. So I've always enjoyed Carmelo Anthony, the person, and Carmelo Anthony, the basketball player. Would have loved to see him get a ring. He didn't go to Miami with LeBron. He's explained that before. He took more years at the time that kind of just left him a year or two behind going and joining all those guys and teaming up with those guys to form a super team. But the one part in the video talking about the whole Bronny James thing, at the end, it's like a nice message, but then it puts a lot of pressure on the kid. He basically says it's up to his son to carry on his legacy. And I don't know, like, you obviously know what your son's capable of, and you know what his basketball abilities are. There was part of me that was like, wow, that's a pretty high standard to live up to if now it's up to the torch is getting passed, and now Carmelo Anthony's like, what, 16 or 17 year old son, however old the son is, now has to carry on the legacy. Like, that is a tough position, in my opinion, to put your son in.
I'm sure it's not being a dad, so I can't speak to it firsthand, but I'm sure for most fathers' dreams, it's to have your children,
yeah,
right, like surpass and do better than, you know, whatever you did.
It's just so tough.
It's the case of LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony. That's very, very, very hard to do, borderline impossible to do, especially if you're Bronny Jr. So I think the message, like I said, comes from a good place, but boy, oh boy, to kind of have to now to keep the Anthony name relevant and in good spirits. Now it's on you to basically be borderline, or bare minimum, I should say, a Hall of Fame player.
I never really understood this from Michael Jordan when he said the ceiling is the roof. But even if you, like, reach your ceiling, if you're Carmelo's kid or LeBron's kid, you're not going to hit the roof, because if your parents are the roof in LeBron and Carmelo Anthony, it's almost impossible to reach that standard of excellence. So I think I used that Michael Jordan term correctly with the whole ceiling is the roof thing.
No pressure, Bron. You just got to be the greatest player to ever play the game. 25 years from now.
Yeah. And
win 5 championships.
Carmelo's son, you better go win a championship. The dad couldn't. He won a championship in college, but gold medals, a scoring champion, all that stuff. You got to go win a title in the NBA.
Maybe get a new 3-point celebration, too. You know, come out to the 3 to the dome. Maybe, you know, get something else going there.
Carmelo Anthony! That was always a great introduction at Madison Square Garden. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. Is this LeBron James retirement talk actually genuine? We'll talk to Trevor Lane, who covers the Lakers, next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, Lakers eliminated, Denver off to the NBA Finals. Let's head out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a pal of ours, and Trevor Lane does a great job as a host at Lakers Nation. Trevor, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Busy day in the world of the Lakers, despite the fact that that they've been eliminated. And LeBron certainly gave us a lot to talk about last night.
Yeah, we'll get into all that ridiculous LeBron James retirement talk in just a second. But let me start you off with the actual outcome of this series, it being a sweep. How much of that did it surprise you? Like, I thought Denver was going to win this series, but I thought you would see the Lakers pick up at least a game in this series.
Yeah, I thought they would get at least a few, but it just didn't happen. Wasn't in the cards. I mean, Denver was, I think, clearly the better team in the series. They were absolutely phenomenal, and their shooting ability was insane. They have yet to have a poor shooting night. It seemed like every single time the Lakers tried to make a run, Denver had guys just hitting big, big shots. I mean, even Aaron Gordon was on fire from three in game four. So you just tip your cap to them. They were an absolutely phenomenal team, and certainly deserving of going to the finals.
I know if you asked LeBron this question, he would say no, but no one thought really, especially early on in the season, even midway through the season, that we'd be talking about the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. I view this as a successful season, but when you have LeBron and you get this close, but yet so far, you know, it just brings out a bunch of different type of emotions.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, look, you when you get to this point, there's always going to be disappointment that they didn't go far, that they were so close to an 18 championship and they didn't get the job done. But then when you step back and you look at the context of the season, you look at the 2-10 start, you look at the 13th seed at the trade deadline, they move up to 7th. To start the postseason, they have to go through the play-in to get there, and then making the push all the way to the Western Conference Finals, essentially with a team that had been together for 2 months because they had added so many pieces at the trade deadline. It really is remarkable that they got as far as they did. So that disappointment is certainly there, but in the big picture context, I agree with you. I think it was definitely a successful season. What an incredible turnaround from them, and now they head into an off season with a little bit of momentum, in addition to, you know, plenty of question marks.
And really, Rob Pelinka, Trevor Lane, showed you a lot this year. The way that he salvaged this season with some of the moves he made.
Yeah, he took such a huge gamble. Such a huge gamble. You know, everything that I've heard, everyone I've spoken to have confirmed that the night before media day, way back at the beginning of the season, they had an opportunity to trade Russell Westbrook, both their first-round picks, 2027 to 2029, for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. That was the deal that was there for them, and they opted not to do it. They took the gamble that they would find something better or at least comparable during the season, and they could at least tread water until then. Now, it took them a while to get to that point, but I was surprised that they found a deal as strong as they did, getting D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, adding Rui Hachimura. They really made some big moves at the trade deadline and just a bit before, and you got to give them credit. It was a risk, but I think it paid off in the end, and Rob Pelinka and that Lakers front office, they found a way to get the pieces they needed to make a real push here. So you got to give them credit for that.
Trevor Lane here with us. So last night you hear all the retirement speculation and how much he's going to contemplate it from LeBron James and the follow-up interviews with a bunch of different outlets. I don't buy it for a single second, Trevor, whether it's him just trying to distract people from the sweep or maybe use it as leverage to get Kyrie in Los Angeles. Where do you stand on this thought that LeBron may actually walk away after this season?
Yeah, I don't buy it either for a lot of reasons. I mean, he's got 2 years and like $100 million left on his contract. That's a lot, even for a billionaire. That's a lot of money to walk away from. You've got also the fact that he already said he thinks he's better than 90 or 95% of the NBA right now, which he's probably not wrong about. That doesn't exactly suggest that he needs to hang him up anytime soon, certainly not this season. And then you factor in, you know, how much he put in to trying to win game four, how much he pushed himself, the emotions behind these series, taking out the Golden State Warriors in the previous round, that weighs heavily. And sometimes you get an emotional response in those moments. And if I was, as Darvin Ham said this morning, he said, look, if I was LeBron in that situation, I would have been thinking about retiring too, because that's just an emotional situation to go through and to invest that much. It's hard to, in that moment, think, wow, now I'm going to have to rehab all summer on my foot and then get back and try to fight through a grueling season again. I don't think he's actually retiring. I think it is happening sooner rather than later. I think it's on his mind, but I can't see that being the end. I mean, LeBron James going out without even a send-off or anything like that, I can't imagine that happening.
Trevor Lane, is Kyrie Irving going to be on the Lakers next year?
The math, the logistics of it tell me no, right? I mean, if you look at just the hurdles you'd have to clear to get him to L.A., whether you want to try to sign him as a free agent, whether you want to try and do the infamous double sign and trade with D'Angelo Russell or something like that with the Dallas Mavericks. Logistically, it's so hard to get that done. And yet there's Kyrie showing up the Lakers games. And now LeBron with the retirement thing, is this, you know, trying to put pressure on the front office? It does leave that little bit of room to wonder, is there something to this? Now, again, everything we've heard is that he's probably going to stick with the Dallas Mavericks, but until he puts pen to paper, we're going to be hearing Kyrie to the Lakers rumors all the way through. I still think, ultimately, the math tells us it's not going to happen, but you just never know. When it's LeBron and it's Kyrie, will they figure out some kind of way to make it happen? So I know that's a non-answer, but if I had to bet on it, I'd say no, but I can't say that with certainty.
Where is the Laker fan at in their confidence level with Anthony Davis?
You know, it's pretty low, I think, right now. And part of that is just, you know, the disappointment of game four, the disappointment of the series. But there's frustration that, you know, hey, Anthony Davis is supposed to be the 1A guy. He's supposed to be the guy that takes the torch from LeBron James and leads this franchise into the future. And he just hasn't been consistent enough on the offensive end of the floor to do that. So defensively, he's been great night in, night out. I think he's been, you know, arguably the best defensive player in the postseason. He's been phenomenal. But offensively, he hasn't been the guy out there every single night. And so Lakers fans are a bit frustrated with that. I've seen some people saying trade Anthony Davis. I think that's, you know, going too far. But I think reality is for this Lakers franchise, you probably have to look moving forward at a post-LeBron era at finding another player to put with him, either as a co-star, as it were, or as kind of a true 1A guy, and let Anthony Davis be the 1B player, because just doesn't seem like he can produce on the offensive end, at least on a night-to-night basis.
Trevor Lane, we talked about the retirement speculation with LeBron, and we're both on the same page. It'll be back next season. Do you think there's a way that he tries to get out of L.A. at all and forces himself to a different team?
I mean, if he went to the Lakers and said, hey, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, please trade me, which I would be shocked. I mean, his son is going to be playing at USC. He's so big on family, I wouldn't imagine him wanting to be away from his family. But if he were to do that, then I think the Lakers would accommodate him. They would do what they needed to do in order to trade him. There's been talk about, does he, you know, retire and sit out a year and then unretire and come back when, you know, when Bronny hits the NBA, his son. There's speculation about that too, but I don't think he would want to leave the Lakers at this point. He's spoken glowingly of the Lakers and the organization, the franchise, and I think he really feels at home in Southern California. I'd be very shocked if he pushed his way to another franchise at this point. Maybe when he's got a player option in 2024, he opts out and then goes and signs with whatever team drafts his son. That's certainly possible. But assuming LeBron plays in the NBA next season, I would say it's a very, very strong likelihood that that's with the Lakers.
And Trevor Lane, I also saw that after the game, he said to David Benjamin, just because that's my aspiration or my goal doesn't mean that it's his, and I'm absolutely okay with that, talking about potentially playing one day with his son, Bronny. I wonder behind the scenes if maybe Bronny was like, hey, Dad, let's cool it out with that chatter about me playing with you. Because that's got to be tough going into the league, and you got your dad in your locker room, especially when you know your father's LeBron James, one of the greatest players of all time.
Right. I mean, your first year in the NBA and you got to hang out with your dad all the time. That's probably not what Bronny envisioned. And, you know, LeBron softened his stance on that a few months ago, instead of saying, I want to play on the same team as him, started talking about, you know, I want to be on the court at the same time as him, suggesting maybe they could be on opposing teams. But yeah, I do wonder how Bronny actually feels about that possibility, about having his dad around all the time. That, not exactly the type of scenario that most, you know, 19, 20-year-olds want to be in.
Yeah, and also I think the injury part of this is fascinating too, Trevor Lane, with LeBron, because for so many years he was a warrior. He didn't miss any games, and he comes to Los Angeles, and he's dealt with a lot of injuries. So I wonder how much that's weighing on him too.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what happens to the best of us. As you get older, you tend to pick up injuries more. You heal slower, all of that kind of stuff. And you could see it. He was exhausted by the end of game four. He talked to us after the game, said, I'm going to have to get an MRI on his foot, because he did have the doctor that told him, yeah, you can continue playing this season. But if they go in and they do an MRI on his foot and it's that tendon has not healed properly, he's going to need surgery on that. And so maybe he's looking at rehabbing this foot injury over the offseason too. All of that has got to weigh on him as he's feeling, you know, he's not 28 at this point where he can play every single night and just fly up and down the floor. He's got to pick and choose his spots a bit more, and that's only going to become more and more of a thing the older that he gets.
Just one last thing. Going back to the game last night, the last two possessions, I thought they took way too long on the second-to-last possession. Then you had the turnover. And on the last one, I was surprised they didn't take a three, and LeBron was trying to drive at the end, down two, really running out of gas. I thought they would have went for a three there, but they didn't.
You know what? I thought the same thing. I thought they waited way too long on that second to last possession. I was doing the play-by-play on that game, and I said the exact same thing. I said they're waiting too long to get into this, into whatever it is that they're going to do. The last possession, it was a little bit ironic, because over the course of the last few seasons, Lakers fans have been complaining about late game shots, LeBron settling for step back threes, and saying he needs to drive to the basket. And in that moment, yeah. He drove to the back. He did what all Lakers fans have been hoping he would do, but it was in a situation where maybe it would have been better to go for the three. So a little bit ironic in that moment, but yeah, it didn't work out the way the Lakers wanted it to, certainly. And I think you're on the money with that criticism there. I think it's very fair.
Make sure you check him out at Trevor_Lane, host of Laker Nation and also the Front Office Show. Trevor, always great to connect with you. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me, Zach. Appreciate it.
You got it. There he is, Trevor Lane, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And we have some power rankings now on this show. I'm very annoyed at Hickey because Hickey mushed my trip to Game 5 to Denver. So now I'm just going to Denver and there's no Game 5 to go to. So I'm very annoyed at Hickey. I would say the power rankings right now, Ack is one, because Ack brought in some munchkins today. So you win me over. I don't have a high asking price right there. I'd probably go Marco 2, maybe Marco like a 1A. Denny's got to be there 3, and then Hickey is sitting there in at 4.
Oh, Denny's 1.
That's probably a good point, actually.
He's
I was going to give
happy,
you the tag.
Thank you. He's always happy. He's always happy to see us. He does the job. He never complains. got to be Din. Now, Denny's perennial number one.
Let me ask you this. Have you been on a Munchkin kind of crave lately? Because I've noticed there's a lot of Munchkins in the office recently, and then you said that you brought them in today. This has not been you bringing the Munchkins the last few weeks?
No.
Oh, really?
Just today.
All right, so you just woke up in a kind move?
I pulled in, and I just said, today's a Munchkin day.
By the way, you doing anything for Memorial Day?
No.
Oh, I thought you were maybe going to go to Peter Luger.
That's next month.
For the big birthday celebration.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to save it up.
Hickey, did you get invited to Ak's birthday? Just wondering.
No, I did not. Thanks, Ak.
keep waiting.
My birthday's next month. I was going to interview or invite you, and that's off. Yeah,
June 24th.
Man.
Guess what? You're out. Whatever birthday celebration I'm doing, I'll make sure to invite everyone at CBS Sports Radio except you.
I don't think Ak will be all that disappointed, if we're being fair.
His parents love me more than they do him.
They do.
So, you know.
For the Mets playoffs, I heard the Hickeys went right up to Ak, and they were fanboying
starstruck.
Over Ak.
I had to tell them the truth about their son.
Well, that's not the first time.
Yes.
When Hickey made his morning national radio debut, his parents went to another radio show.
They have good taste.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelb here with the human pinata hot take Hickey. All righty, we'll come on back. When we do return, I'll give you a thought about Brooks Koepka winning the PGA Championship.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Jim in Charlotte. Ah, this is Jimmy Solania who's on the line. Jim, what's happening?
Oh, nothing much. Just sitting outside doing some painting and getting ready to watch another sweep take place, And that's what I was calling about, Zach.
Quickly, though, Jim, what's the latest project? I know you're like the Picasso in the paver world. What's the latest project for you with your paintings?
Well, they're all finite. They go away after about one summer and a winter or so. So I'm repainting the ones that go bad. And I've got a power washer now, which takes the paint off. Great. I'm real happy with that.
You be careful with that power washer. That could be dangerous.
Yeah, I shot it with my I put my finger in front of it. It's not that bad.
Is your finger okay? Is it all right?
Yeah, it's okay.
Still attached?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay, yeah. Yeah, but you're right. You need to be careful with them. You know, Zach, what bothers me about this world of sports right now, and I guarantee you we'll hear it tonight after the Heat sweep. I'll guarantee you every player that comes to the microphone will say, we're not happy. I'm not happy. We're not happy. Coach isn't happy. We're not happy. We're going to win four more. You know, aren't you sick and tired of hearing that?
I guess it's a certain mentality, but I do understand what you're saying. And I remember, I forget which AFC championship game it was that the Patriots won, but there was a mic'd up version of Brady and Julian Edelman. And Julian Edelman was like, I'm not happy. He's like, are you happy? He said that to Brady, and Brady goes, heck yeah, I'm happy. He goes, we'll get ready for the game in 2 weeks, but it was kind of illustrating that point. Hey, everyone has to have a different mentality and a public persona as well, but yeah, when you're the Miami Heat and you were in the second playing game down late in the fourth quarter to get to the NBA Finals, you should be happy. There's a hot take for you, Jim.
Yeah, well, I like Pat Riley, but I guarantee you, he got with Spoelstra and said, okay, tell these guys they're not happy. Tell them to say they're not happy. So they're not even allowed to say what they really think. I'll tell you, they are so happy they could jump through their own five hole. But they have to laugh. They have to lie to us and tell us, I'm not happy. Yes, you are. You might be the happiest you've ever been in your life, and you're telling us you're not happy? The losers should be saying they're not happy, not the winners. It's just it's a mass conspiracy. Everybody does it. The winning teams now go straight up to the microphones and say, I'm not happy. We're not happy. We got to win four more. I'm just sick and tired of it.
Well, you know, it even goes back to Kobe Bryant. I forget which NBA Finals it was, but he had a lead, and he's like, I'm not happy that the job's not done yet. So it's just one of those certain mentality. You've seen a lot of sports, Jim. You've been around the block for a long time, covering sports media all around the country. Jimmy Butler, man, this dude's awesome. Like, I made the comparison. I'm not saying he's at this level of greatness, but he, when I watch him play, I see some Michael Jordan. I see some Kawhi Leonard and also even some Kobe Bryant. This dude's just unbelievable on a basketball court.
He's learned how, he's shooting the three, which is amazing. He's just done this right in front of our eyes. You know, and as far as Pat Riley goes, listen to this. Can't you picture Pat Riley playing Robert De Niro's role in Casino?
Well, Jim, appreciate it. Thanks so much. Good stuff there. By Mr. Picasso himself, the Picasso of the paver world. And Hickey, Jim sent us a beautiful paver last year. Like, I was shocked he was able to even pick it up and get it to the UPS store, wherever he sent it to get it shipped to us. That thing was unbelievable. It's still around here.
I feel bad for the postage men and women that had to pick that up, had to transfer it, had to walk it over to the building. That was heavy.
Another thing that you let us down on, though. You let us down on that.
I did?
Yeah. It's another thing you promised you said you were going to do and you didn't come through on.
What is that?
That's a little crack in the mail when he sent the paver, and you guaranteed that you promised that you were going to Gorilla Glue that thing together?
No, I would never make a guarantee. I only guarantee sports things. I don't know much about non-sports. And my guarantees...
Go back and get the audio now?
Mostly are right. Mostly are right. But I don't really venture outside of the sports world.
Wait, your guarantees are mostly right? Now you really sound like a politician. I'm going to start calling you Hickey Trump. That's
like
what I'm going to start calling
we say,
you.
Just a coincidence that some of these wrong predictions are all just bunched up in a very short amount of time together.
Oh, yeah.
Like a bad gambler, existence. I'm going to get hot, and I'm going to get hot quick.
We're waiting for that. And folks, don't hold your breath because you'd be dead if you're waiting for Hickey to get hot in the sports gambling world or any picks when it comes to sports. You know, like who are you, right now, early prediction, Heat or the Nuggets, assuming that the Heat get through tonight?
Nuggets.
Oh, man. I like Denver, too. Oh, that doesn't make me feel good now.
Nuggets in five.
Oh, in five now.
Five.
Okay. We'll have to wait and see on that one. But a lot of Denver fans right now are probably crying after they just heard that prediction. They got to be really upset right now.
Have some faith. Have some faith. When it comes to championships, my record is strong.
Oh, really? How about the college football this
Chiefs,
past year?
Eagles. Chiefs. Rams Super Bowl. Sure, man, you know, the lead up to it is
all
never
right, Mendoza. Here's like the three
great
hits you got in your career. Go ahead.
But, you know,
well,
hey.
What was the third one? What was the third one? Go ahead.
Well, the
come
Heat
on
this series.
Okay. And then after that?
Off the top of my head, let's see. Chiefs over the Eagles.
You already said that.
We talked about the Rams already. I'm trying to think of other ones recently here.
Bueller. Anyway, I want to bring up one golf thing real quickly. So Brooks Koepka wins his fifth major championship over the weekend. It was enormous because after what happened in the Masters, where he had the lead going into the final Sunday and then Jon Rahm wins it, if Brooks is back, and I said this about Tiger when Tiger was going through his problems, Tiger isn't back until he wins a major. And Tiger won that Masters, which we all remember. Brooks isn't back until he wins a major. Now, you don't see him anyway because he's on a part of LIV Golf. But him winning that major, if he would have lost and would have blown that lead and, like, let's say Victor Hovland or Scottie Scheffler would have won, it was okay. Brooks played really well. He's in a better mental state. But it's about winning majors for Brooks Koepka, who for a certain stretch is one of the more dominant golfers that you'll see, especially the way that he only really cares about these major championships. I'll tell you something else, Hickey. I don't know where you stand on this one. A year ago, a lot of people were irate with LIV Golf. And if Brooks Koepka would have won last year, I think it would have been a much bigger deal. Now, a year later, where it's just been the Saudis have just been giving out money left and right to these golfers, and there's been no successful results of LIV Golf where they don't even think they subscribe to ratings anymore because the ratings are so low. And you'd never even hear anything really about LIV Golf until these major championships. When Brooks Koepka won, my first thought was, wow, Brooks Koepka won another major championship. It wasn't, oh my goodness gracious, a LIV golfer won. Where if this was a year ago, I would have had a totally different take on that. I think it's just really fatigue, and it's kind of out of sight, out of mind with LIV Golf right now, where it's not as big of a deal as it was, let's say, this time last year.
What's the thing you said, outside, out of mind? LIV's irrelevant because for most golf fans that are especially casual golf fans, you're watching four times a year, the four majors. Well, guess what? Everyone in LIV is still there, still playing. So it's not like if you're watching the Travelers Championship next month, you're going to miss no Phil and no Brooks Koepka and other guys that went to LIV. Most casual golf fans are watching golf four weekends a year.
Yeah.
And all those guys that are on LIV are now still on your TV four times a year in the big majors.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens at the Ryder Cup, because that's still a point of contention.
Yeah, also, unfortunately for them, in September, during football season. So again, that's a lot of P1.
To the casual fan,
So for the majority of golf fans that are, again, not diehard, you're not watching every weekend anyway, so you're not seeing the difference, because anytime you watch golf, those still guys that went to LIV are still on your TV screens.
And I'm a little bit more than a casual golf fan, but I wanted to see this like actually become a rivalry. And Rory was leading that last year, and now with the way that Rory handled the PGA Championship, I don't even think he really cares anymore at this point.
And how can you? They're just so irrelevant. They're out of sight, out of mind.
They got their money.
They got their money. They have went away into oblivion, and it's one of those things where it's not going to change. I think you hear Brooks talk. To me, he sounds like someone who has regret. But with the way the contracts are, you're not getting out of those anytime soon. I think it's through 2024, if I'm not mistaken. Is a lot of those deals, so at least another year and a half, bare minimum. So it's like, it's one of those, like, what else is there to say at this point? They're relevant, they got their money, we're not going to see them again for at least 2 years. It is what it is.
And also, Michael Block was a great story. Outside of Brooks winning the pro at the California public course, who charges $150 for a lesson, ends up winning, like, I think it was $288,000 or whatever it was, and then gets invited to the Schwab Invitational as well. And qualified for the PGA with a top 15 finish, had the ace, I believe it was on 15. What a tremendous story that was, and just a great wave of emotion that you got to see, where he was just thrilled to be playing with Rory McIlroy. I read some story, his entire team booked a flight home right after the cut on that either Friday night or Saturday morning. They had to rearrange all their travel plans. So what a great story with Michael Block.